Okay, can I just start talking like it's a podcast? Like, pretend like this is a podcast. Let's talk.
Hi, and welcome to Hey Bestie. We're best friends, Sarah and Kim, and we're introverts who like to talk.
Kim, I have a podcasting life update for you.
Ooh.
Okay, you just like made, you built the anticipation of way more than is what is necessary for what I'm about to say. Okay. But I just want you to know that I've opened the Skittles that have been in my desk drawer since we started podcasting, and I'm eating them now.
I thought you had a rule that you would not eat those Skittles while we were podcasting because eating Skittles is not good for podcasting.
I did, but I only ever remember that those Skittles in my desk drawer exist every time we podcast because for some reason I end up opening up the drawer and then I see them there. And then I think about how I would love to eat them, but I can't because we're podcasting.
It's the forbidden fruit.
And so this time, I guess, like, once you get, like, a few episodes in, you're just like, whatever, I eat Skittles when I podcast.
Yeah,
now.
It's been, you've held out now for 5 episodes. It's episode 6 and you can't take it anymore. The juice is now loose. Oh, wait, that's juice. Wait, that's not juice.
That's what Skittles.
Taste the rainbow. You gotta taste the rainbow.
Yeah, it's happening.
Okay, well, if anyone at Skittles is listening, Sarah loves Skittles so much that she can't not eat Skittles while she's podcasting.
I mean, to be completely honest, I haven't eaten Skittles in a really long time. I'm not even sure where I got this bag of Skittles. If you would like to sponsor this podcast.
I feel like Miss Skittles does listen to our podcast.
So you're saying I should expect a truckload of Skittles at my house any second now?
Is that going to be like your gimmick now? You're going to be eating Skittles every time we record? I don't know if that's great for listeners.
Or for Skittles. Okay, so now that I've stopped eating my Skittles for a second.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're eating Skittles.
Yeah, I swallowed them and now I won't put any more in my mouth for a while, probably. I'll try. But there's a pile of them sitting on my desk, like within my view constantly right now. So I can't promise you won't hear a rogue Skittle chew happen at some point because I'll just accidentally like forget that it's important.
Well, we've been warned. So
what I actually wanted to talk about today was I recently discovered a local news kind of like genre of story, I guess, that I really, really hate, but that seems to be pretty popular. And I'm assuming it's not just in Dallas, but happens other places too, because this is America. And I just feel like it's probably on all the local news all over the place. So the basic idea is that somebody will spot someone who needs help in some way. Like for an example of a story I recently saw, there was a guy who was walking, and it's really, really hot here right now. So basically, like, you don't walk anywhere in Dallas unless you just have no other choice. It's too hot.
No, it's terrible outside. I think we've had 8 days in a row now of 100-degree heat.
Yeah, so you're not walking, like, for the fun of it. You're walking because you have to. So a guy spots a young man. I think he was around 19 or 20 or something, in a uniform. He's walking. He works at a fast food restaurant, and he's walking along the highway. And a guy spots him, and I think he might have seen him like a few times or something. Anyway, somehow he stopped to like talk to him, and it comes out that the guy walks to work every day, and is even in the summer right now when it's super hot, that he walks like a few miles or something to get there. So it takes a long time, especially in the heat. It's really horrible. And that he did that because he couldn't afford a car, that he was saving up for one. So this guy that saw him and talked to him went and posted, I think, on like some kind of neighborhood Facebook page or some other neighborhood page, and mentioned this guy and said like we should raise money for him. So they crowdfunded and they saved up money and they bought him a used car. They contacted some dealership or something, and then they bought a used car for him and then surprised him with it. And the guy was, you know, super excited and appreciative and all that. But the thing that bugs me about those stories on the local news is, yeah, that's great for that guy to do that. It's great that that other guy has a car. But they always leave out the part where you mention how ridiculous it is that he goes to work every day and he can't afford to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they bought him a used car. It was like a 10-year-old car. It's not, I think they raised, you know, $5,000 or $6,000. It's not some super fancy. I mean, why does he work all the time and can't afford that?
Working, yeah, if he's working a full-time job and can't afford a car, that's a bigger issue.
Right. So it's like, thanks for this feel-good story of this person being nice and this other person, I guess, being like appreciative of this free car or something. But where's the part of the story that addresses that we have like a serious problem?
Yeah. Should that make you feel good? That we have people that are walking in 100-degree
heat? No, they always make me feel bad. There was another story I saw also recently, which was like an older man, same thing, walking to work, but his car had broken. And so the person who talked to him found out he had a car, but it was just broken down and he couldn't afford the repairs, which is probably like even worse because repairs are not going to cost as much as a whole car.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get the repairs. And so the person paid for the repairs for him to get his car back on the road so he wouldn't have to walk. I think it amounted to like 3 hours of walking per day in the heat back and forth to work. And he had a full-time job, so he did it 5 days a week. But why couldn't he afford to repair his car?
When things like that go wrong and you can't afford to, like you just said, fix your car or even have a car at all, it's probably not the only thing that you're not affording. It's probably not the only thing that's making your life super hard. So for people to come in and make a huge deal about this one thing, as if it's the one thing that you need that'll all of a sudden make your life super secure and help you, you know, not feel like you can't support your family or you can't have all the things that you want to have to live a comfortable, right, stable life is just ridiculous.
Like, it's great to have a car or to have your car fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a car is definitely a necessity. Like you were saying, especially here in Texas where it gets so hot. I mean, it's definitely a necessity to have a car. You can't just be walking everywhere and be okay. Like, it becomes a health hazard. So it's important, but I don't know. And to have that be a local news story, too, is just really weird because...
Yeah, and I've seen a few in the last several months. So it's like, it just feels like it's like this kind of, you know, one of their human interest, like feel good pieces is what they're meaning for it to be. But all I think about whenever I'm watching it is how annoying it is that that person like couldn't just fix their car or couldn't save up and get a car.
Yeah. I mean, stick to like the pig skateboarding down the street if you want like a feel good fluffy piece.
That's totally feel good. I have nothing like, to complain about with
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Don't scratch the surface of like America's socioeconomic issues and then just be like, and
wait, okay,
that's
wait,
the news.
Wait. I might have something to complain about. Does the pig actually want to skateboard or is it being forced to skateboard? There may be a problem there. I don't know.
I feel like for it to be a really solid, good piece, it has to choose to skateboard itself. It can't.
Otherwise, they really should not report on it.
Or just the story gives the appearance that it did. I mean, you're right. Somebody could have just stuck the pig on the skateboard. But if we don't know that, you know, it's like, you know, don't look behind the curtain kind of thing.
Maybe it's okay.
That actually reminds me of recently, this was probably about 6 months ago, I was out of town and I stopped by a store to pick up a couple of things. And there was a woman there that was buying hundreds of dollars worth of children's clothes. And so the cashier, she was in front of me and the cashier had asked her like, oh, are you buying these for your children or your grandchildren? It's a lot of clothes. And she said, no, I have an employee who recently became a single father and he has really stepped up for his kids. He has 4 children and they don't have a lot of money and they don't really have a place to live right now. He's staying with his parents. Mm-hmm. So I'm helping them out and I'm buying them all of these clothes. And I actually just bought them tickets to SeaWorld too so that they could go have a little vacation together.
Okay. I have 2 questions. I don't know if you'll know the answers to these, but
okay.
Question one, are you sure? Do you think that she said employee, like implying that this is like someone that works for her or just like a random coworker?
She did mention that she had her own business and had a couple of details about the business. So I think that it was somebody who worked directly under her or at least somebody that was at a level
my irritation
below her.
Level is rising. And then so, question mm-hmm. 2, do you have any reason to believe that she had asked these people what stuff they would want and was buying things based on like say characters a little kid liked and so they'd want their pajamas to have this certain thing on it, or was she randomly being like this is what 8-year-old girls like or whatever?
No, not at all. She mentioned a couple of times that this was going to be a complete surprise, so I'm pretty sure she had no conversation with the father or the children about this previously.
Yeah,
which is very irritating.
Okay, so I'm not a fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, neither was I, but there were a couple of people behind me in line, and then the cashier was also asking her a lot of questions about, you know, oh, like, do you do this a lot, or have you done this before? And she was like, no, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this, and it was just really weird because the focus was immediately on her and what she was doing and how wonderful it was and what a great person she was for doing this. First of all, my immediate reaction was, you know, when you do, it's just in general, when you do something good, when you try to help, when you have the means to do that.
You don't need to really like blah, blah, blah about it in the line at TJ Maxx or whatever.
Right. Yeah. You're not like, I wasn't at TJ Maxx.
Have everyone clap for you. I don't know where you were.
For the record, it wasn't TJ Maxx.
Whatever.
So if you're listening and thinking, was I at that TJ Maxx?
Marshall's?
It was somewhere. But yeah, Kohl's. So it's that whole.
It was Kohl's, wasn't it?
It was a Kohl's-like establishment.
Okay, yeah.
Asterix, possibly Kohl's.
Kohl's-like also could just be Kohl's.
But yeah, so when you do something like that, it's, you know, like when a celebrity does something or gives to charity and then like tweets about it and people are like, well, you know, some of the stuff can be under the radar. Some of the stuff is in the public eye just for awareness.
Yeah, reasons. But like Linda at Marshall's isn't raising awareness.
Right.
So she needs to dial it back. So my issue with that is, like, I'm assuming from my questions, you can probably guess, and that if she's this person's employer and he can't afford to buy, like, clothes or SeaWorld tickets for his kids, then I'm wondering why she doesn't just pay him more so that he can buy them the things that they need, because clothes are not, like, some extravagant extra. Yeah. Like, you just need things to wear.
Yeah, that was my second issue, for sure, was that if, you know, if this is your employee, he obviously needs to get paid more to support his family.
Right, you're gonna, like, hand him his paycheck and this, like, pile of stuff you picked out on his behalf without any input. And then my second question, also based on if the kids had, like, given any sort of preferences, is, I mean, I can imagine being a little kid. It's like you're gonna get a pile of clothes in your size. And that's literally the only thing about them that makes them for you, is that hopefully they will fit your body. But, like, they're not in your favorite color, which may be really important to you at the time. Or you're really into a certain kind of character, or really not into a certain kind of character. And, like, the clothes don't reflect your personality or what you would have picked.
Yeah, and we're all aware of how much little kids are marketed to when it comes to, like, Disney movies, cartoons, things like that. Like, there's a lot of branding all over all of these clothes. And a lot of, you know, sparkles and pink for girls still, unfortunately. And a lot of the boys' clothes are still blue or have, like, trucks on them or something. And
right. And I mean, so for one tiny, tiny second, I can say, like, Teresa or whoever deserves some recognition. I guess, like, she could do absolutely nothing, like, not pay him more, not buy stuff, which I guess is worse. But I feel like she really missed the mark in what an actual helpful thing to do would have been.
Yeah.
Which is to not make someone feel like they have to thank you for, like, you providing them with stuff that their paycheck should have allowed them to buy in the first place.
Yeah. And that's a good point, because it's not the actual act of charity, of giving, that is at the heart of the problem here. It's more, to me, like, the lack of acknowledging a person as a human being who also possesses a certain amount of, like, dignity, integrity, individuality, and acknowledging that person is struggling in a way that gives them agency over their struggle.
And maybe you don't want to show up to your job and have your boss, like, hand you, like, bags of stuff for their kids.
Right, right.
Like, for your kids, exactly. Like, that your boss bought for you. Like, I know you don't have any money because I don't pay you more. Here's this stuff I picked out randomly for your kids.
I mean, obviously don't know what happened after we parted ways, but I do feel like the way that she was expressing how awesome she felt about the act that she was doing, there was probably an audience when she did give them the SeaWorld tickets and the clothes.
Oh God, and that makes it even worse.
Yeah, because it is about her and sort of how good she's feeling about doing this. And then on the other side of it, you're putting that person in a position where they really can't react in a natural way.
They can't show anything but gratitude.
Right. Or they look like they're not grateful.
Yeah.
And that is a really hard position to be in. They can't do anything
but show gratitude.
Yeah.
So then it reinforces that was a good thing to do. When really, if you were that worried about them, just give them some more freaking money.
Right. And also, I mean, has he talked to her about his financial issues? Has he mentioned? I mean, she obviously knows that he is struggling with finding a place to live and possibly has mentioned some money issues to her, but he's right. Probably mentioning that because she's the one who provides his paycheck, not because he wants her to go to a store and buy his children a bunch of clothes.
Right, exactly.
It just feels like when people do things like this, a lot of times the person gets left out of the equation, the person that actually may be in need. And if you just sit down and ask them, you know, is there anything going on? Can I help in any way? And have a real conversation. I feel like it leads to more lasting change and something that could really be impactful.
Well, and maybe an employer recognizing that they haven't kept their wages that they're paying their employees, their wages have not kept up with the demand of what people actually need to make these days.
Yeah.
Because if you've had a business for a while and you're doing, like, kind of baseline minimal wage increases and there's not like a huge, you know, whole company and big department around keeping those things current with inflation and cost mm-hmm. of living and all that, and you're just like a random person with a small business, I think it could be really easy to like fall behind and also be in this like 1990 mindset of like X number of dollars is completely fine to survive, and like you've paid yourself more and you're not realizing over time that like while people are making more at your business, it's not actually more once you actually compare the dollars from before to current
time. It's a big issue.
So they're struggling more than they would have been in the past.
Yeah, there's for sure a huge wage gap between like business owners and employees and also people at middle management and above when you talk about larger companies and the people that come right. in like at entry-level jobs. There's a huge gap and it's just growing bigger.
Right. So big speaking problem. Of people who need money, I feel like basically everyone pretty much has heard in the past that story or that kind of budget advice. Every time you see a blog like 5 ways to save money or whatever, it's always like stop buying that daily latte. You've heard
oh
that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. So that really, really gets on my nerves.
Me
so
too.
For two reasons. One is like maybe you just want a freaking latte. Like
which is fine.
What if you don't have money to spend on other stuff? Like, you don't have a lot of money. And so you go and you get yourself, like, a special coffee drink. And it gets you through your day. And it's the only splurge that you have. And otherwise, you stick to your budget and you save money and you don't get to buy anything else that's fun. Like, I don't know. For me, I'm like,
yeah, I mean, obviously,
latte.
Don't spend, like, $15 to $40 on, like, several different coffee drinks every day of the week, every single day. But that's not who they're talking to when they're writing these articles.
Right. They're basically aiming for you to save $5, like, about save $5 a day is kind of, I think, where the original story comes from. It's like for mm-hmm. a person giving a woman advice on how to save about $5 a day. And what that would add up to over the year. But from what I also heard recently, too, that like that whole thing was an example of a person giving financial advice to a woman specifically who was buying a coffee every day. And it was something she could cut out, because that becomes my other issue with this whole thing is that I don't buy a drink like that every day. So when I see blog posts or news reports or anything that are trying to tell me tips for how to save money, and they instantly, like so many of them, just go right to skip that latte on the way to work or
yes.
whatever. Like I'm going to save $0 doing that because
right.
I don't get one on the way to work.
Their advice is to cut something out that you can only afford if you have more money or expendable income anyway. And you're not in that position. You're trying to save money from a place of like only tending to your basic needs.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, don't spend like extra money on brunch on Saturday. Don't have an extra mimosa. And you're like, well,
right.
I'm not having that
like,
anyway.
Well, I didn't have that mimosa anyway, so that didn't help me. Yeah. So
yeah.
That story, that has always bugged me, just first of all, from the perspective of someone who's not buying that every day, that's like, doesn't really help me save money. But then mm-hmm. also, even if someone is buying it, you don't know their situation. And if that's like one of their only things they ever really get to splurge on, then I think it's completely fine for them to
buy. And a lot of these articles are generally talking to millennials or like a group of people who are struggling
in
general.
You mean talking to or talking down to?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Talking down to millennials who just can't seem to save that extra money. So just quit eating avocado toast.
Right.
Kids.
Like the avocado toast story, or when Jason Chaffetz said that thing about maybe people have to stop buying new iPhones so they can afford
gosh,
health insurance.
Yes.
Like, okay, I do not buy like 12 to 15 iPhones a year, which is what my insurance would cost.
Your iPhone didn't cost $12,000?
Yeah, I don't buy that many iPhones. Like, I've had the one I have right now for more than a year even.
Yeah,
so
that's ridiculous.
That would have gotten me not even 1 month of my health insurance.
And it's sort of ridiculous to assume that people can go without phones now, too. A lot of people need a phone
for
their
job. Yeah,
there's
the other layer to that. It's like, okay, so you don't have a smartphone, so now how are you keeping current with like the world? Because so many people, if you are lower income, you don't pay for internet connection at home, and so your only real mm-hmm. internet connection is your data on your phone. So no, you should not cut out
your connection
phone.
To the world. And a lot of people I work with have to have a phone for their job as well, and they don't pay for the phone, they just pay for the data. So
thanks for nothing, Jason. So speaking of ways to save money, my number one tip is literally earn more.
Solid tip.
Because as someone who has made so little before, so I guess I should preface this by saying Kim and I both grew up in, I guess what I would label working class families, in mm-hmm. that they were very paycheck to paycheck. And like, sure, we had houses we lived in, our parents owned cars, but it could very easily all fall apart very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, we
that
had
feels
we
like
lived
a fair
in
description, right?
Yeah. And we lived paycheck to paycheck the entire time I was growing up. And at certain points we had government assistance for things like food stamps, and it was hard. And I remember it being hard, even though, you know, your parents try to buffer you from that stuff. But I definitely was aware of our situation. And
yeah, how I mean, I feel like from my side, it was like just a paycheck to paycheck situation. Like if someone lost a job, it would be an instant struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So while we had a house that we lived in, and, you know, it was just, it's, we didn't have a lot of extra money, basically.
Yeah.
So
a lot of extras or savings.
Right. So that's where my number one tip for saving and budgeting comes from, is to earn more money. Which I know, like, awesome tip, right? I'm not telling you not to buy a latte. I'm saying earn more money, which is really obvious, but can be pretty hard to do. So as someone who has earned very little before and couldn't afford a latte or to budget or save any money, the only way that that has stopped for me is by earning more myself and being married to someone that earns more. And that just kind of disappeared. It could reappear anytime if we lost our jobs or those jobs are eliminated and we could no longer earn a similar living. But all the times when I made so little on my own, there was really no advice that would have made it easier or better for me to save or budget, because I didn't have anything to save or budget.
Mm-hmm.
I was just constantly trying to survive.
Yeah. And I don't know. We haven't talked about this a whole lot, so I'm not really sure if you got caught in this too, but I would feel super guilty about not saving money. So there were certain times where, even though I wasn't making enough to even really afford
gas, I feel like that feels totally on brand for you. Guilt about not saving when you make like $8 an hour. So what are you saving?
Yeah, it's been really hard for me, like, to shed that sort of like stress out about money. I always have to sort of pinch my pennies mentality. That is definitely residual from growing up the way that I did. So yes, that is very on brand for me.
Yeah, to feel I never had that. Like, I never tried to save anything, but I just literally had nothing to save. And I didn't have any guilt around not being able to save. I mostly felt bad. Like, why can I not have more? Like, why am I not able to earn more money?
I would try to save so much that I would end up, like, at one point I even had a piggy bank that I tried to put change, or if a dollar if I had it, a day. And I attached a lot of my self-worth at that time, honestly, to whether or not I could do that every day. And sometimes I would even just, like, try to go buy something with, like, $5 just so I could have that change to put in my piggy bank, because I did have that guilt about not saving. And yeah, I felt as though I didn't really have a future unless I was accumulating some money to build up to that, because how was I going to pay for all of this stuff in the future? My, you know, future travel plans, or eventually a house, or to own my own, you know, car that wasn't breaking down all the time and things like that. It just didn't feel possible unless I was working toward that in some way. But then something would happen and I would need to go to the doctor, or I would just need to go to the grocery store and I would have to empty my piggy bank. And I remember doing that so much. I just felt like I was building up the savings, but it wasn't a real savings. It was just me trying to act like I was saving, and then feeling completely defeated when I had to spend that savings on something that was a necessity because I wasn't making enough money to keep afloat. And I feel like a lot of people get caught in that trap, especially younger people who are told, you know, you go out in the world and you become an adult and then you have to pay for everything on your own, and everything should be paid for. Like, once you have a full-time job, it should be easy. Just be responsible.
But
just
meanwhile, don't drink a latte if you look at day. Job listings right now, you can pull up jobs that say degree required, and then they list the pay as like $12 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, so first of all, $12 an hour just to support your whole life is going to be a stretch.
In most states, it's not going to cut it.
And then if you, when you look at those numbers now, it's like you can't afford a one-bedroom apartment in like most places at that.
Mm-mm.
And then, like, that's assuming you graduated from college without any loans. And so then you're thinking, like, you're requiring this person to have a degree for a job that doesn't really need it, honestly, if you're being honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this person may be paying back student loans and you're going to pay them so little.
That's another thing that I know you and I have talked a lot about that we didn't have, was parental assistance through college right out of high school.
Yeah.
Because that not only pays for college expenses, if you have that support, or if your parents, you know,
yeah, even if it's like your groceries or your apartment or all that kind of stuff. I feel like people that have that kind of, they kind of ignore or forget all that help, but it's, mm-hmm. It's impossible to forget if you were the one having to pay for that while also going to school.
Yeah.
It makes for a really hard time. I can remember having to borrow a $20 bill once because I was stuck in this loop of, I was completely out of money. Like, I didn't even have, it was like, all I had was an ATM card because, of course, I didn't have a credit card. And I didn't even have $20 in my account. And so I couldn't withdraw a $20 bill. And then I didn't have enough to actually like go to a gas pump and have it like approve you because it was so little that, you know, they're not going to, they don't let you pump gas if your card can't handle it or whatever. Where I had to borrow a $20 bill so that I could put gas in my car so that I could drive over to the place that I worked to get my paycheck because they didn't have direct deposit, which was pretty common back then, so that I could put the check in the bank and actually have money again. But I was like stuck in this loop of like, I can't get there, but I also can't get my money, but I have an entire, you know, 2 weeks worth of pay sitting over there, but I don't have enough to even get one tank of gas or even like $5 of gas in my car to drive over there to get it.
Yeah, because once you're not able to get ahead for a week or a month, that impacts the next 3 months, the next 6 months.
Yeah, or you have a car repair because your car is older and it breaks down.
And then, yeah, literally nothing can happen that needs extra money during that time. And that's not realistic. So yeah, you just end up falling further behind.
We've both been stuck in that kind of loop. It feels really familiar. And it's sometimes I have to remind myself that that's not where I'm at right now. I'll find myself doing things financially that are like, kind of seem like survival instincts more than just what actually makes sense for my current financial situation.
Me too. Those habits are really, that pattern of thinking is really hard to break.
Right. So anyways, all that loops back to my top tip is earn more money. And I don't think that that's people's responsibility personally to earn more money. I think that Americans in general have to have a real hard look at what earning needs to be for people to survive. And that every single person who has a job should be able to pay for all of their necessities. And if they can't, we are failing. And that something has to change. So one funny thing I shared this example with Kim is that anytime before the last like handful of years, I would have loved to have a free iPad. But the time when I got a free iPad is right now, which was basically because I have a credit card that has rewards and we put all of our expenses on it and then pay it off each month. So we don't carry a balance, but we get the rewards every month for a significant amount of money because we put everything on there. And then I saved up the rewards, not even for the whole year, but for several months. And then when the new iPads came out recently, I used all of those reward dollars, like a chunk of them, to buy an iPad. So basically I spent, it's like money I could have had, but I didn't earn it. And it's from rewards dollars, like, given to me because I spent money on my credit card.
And could you have just purchased that iPad
if you wanted to? I definitely could have just purchased the iPad, but I got it stuck in my head like, oh, I'm going to use these reward dollars for my iPad. And then I just waited and waited and waited until I had enough. And then they were releasing a new one and it was this big production. But like, oh gosh, I would have loved to have those reward dollars like any other time for an iPad. Like right now, it felt really cool. It's great. Oh, I have an iPad. And I didn't spend any money on it, but it's like, it's the time I least needed the help right now whenever I got it.
Yeah, when you were talking about how you didn't have a credit card, I actually did have a credit card with a $300 limit that I maxed out almost immediately because I had to buy tires for my car.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
When I was in college, and then I couldn't pay the payments. I was paying the bare minimum. So the interest, I actually ended up paying something like $800 or $900 on that credit card just for that one purchase of like $250 tires.
Yeah, of course. That's how they get you. And
I didn't get any rewards for that.
Yeah. A credit card with that small of a limit does not have rewards, Kim.
And I feel like I should have because that was really hard.
Right. They should have rewarded you for how horrible that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, my iPad story is just an example of how once you have some money, it's so easy for it to turn into more money. Like I am by no means rich. And if I lose my job, I'll be like, where did that money go? And it will be a problem for me. Spending on my credit card into a free iPad. Like that's not, I had to spend enough money to get the credit card rewards to come up with enough money for that. And I never would have been able to do that before because I wouldn't have even had a credit card.
We shouldn't have, you know, the opportunity to just put your auto pay bills on a credit card and accumulate rewards that result in a free iPad when some people are working full time and not affording a car or clothes for their kids. Like, you're totally right. That's like, there's something severely wrong with the system.
Right, because I was waiting for my $20 to get to my job so that I could pick up my paycheck, somebody else was having credit card dollars and buying whatever the current equivalent of iPad at that time was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just something feels really, really out of balance to me. And it shouldn't be the responsibility of the people struggling through that right now to find a way to make that money work better for them. Like, it's not possible.
Right.
You can't turn that into enough money. Somebody needs to pay them more.
Yeah. And I think that's something that not everyone realizes in America, because this is actually something, an ideal that is perpetuated for obvious corporate and sometimes political gain, is that it's some sort of like personal moral failure if you're right. dependent on government assistance, or if you can't, you know, afford a car to get to work every day. And that is not the case. Like, we know, I mean, we haven't been in every situation that there is, but we know the situation that we were in, and it feels really, really awful. And there is a tendency to want to blame yourself and to think, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah, especially if you see other people that are able, that are making more and have more, you think, why are they doing that? And I'm not able to. Mm-hmm. And it's only later when you can step back and see like the kind of help that those other people were having at the time that was making it right.
It's
them. Just,
it's so complicated, and so many factors play into it. And like we said before, like parental help is a big one, like from college on.
Yeah, if your parents down. Have a college fund, or they can pay for your all of your living expenses while you're in college, it takes a big load off of your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes for a totally different situation for people that are in college.
Yeah, because after college, you're not just dealing with debt payments. You're dealing with, okay, now I want to get into my own place to live, but I don't have like a down payment or a deposit for
right.
an apartment. I don't have anything that, or I don't have anyone that's helping me out. I have to come up with that money myself. I had two jobs most of the time I was in college, and that money never went into a savings account or into any sort of future
savings. Right, and we have two different examples where, so For you were getting student loans and you worked two jobs. For me, I went part-time to school and it took me way longer to graduate than it should have for someone who is as good at school as I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are two, like, same situations, both resulted in hardship through college that are real and that people are currently experiencing. And then afterwards, when you get out and you still can't earn enough to really... Like, you find those job listings that are saying college degree required, and we're going to pay you $10, $11, $12 an hour. That's not
And we both ended
anymore.
Up in that situation, too. I know we both worked jobs that required college degrees or that were considered good jobs at good companies at one time or another.
Yeah, with benefits and blah, blah, blah. But then, meanwhile, it's just not enough to live.
Yeah, you're needing roommates, or you're needing the assistance of a partner if you have it. It's really hard. I guess one of the big takeaways from all of this is, first, if you can get a credit card with some credit card rewards, you should, because they
really
pay
off. Put
all of
your bills on it and pay it off each month. Do not carry a balance or pay any interest. I actually love at the end of the last 2 years in a row now, I've gotten the like annual statement and they send it to me, and I see on there it says like interest paid for, you know, 2016 and 2015, $0. And it makes me so happy because I feel like I'm sticking it to them so hard, because I spent all that money on there, but I paid them no interest. And then they also gave me rewards that I bought myself.
Oh, they hate that. They're so mad.
And the year before, I actually bought an espresso machine. So I've made two big purchases and I paid no interest. And so I feel like I'm just like sticking it to the credit card man, and I love it.
Yeah, they hate you. You're their least favorite customer.
Right.
Yeah. But if you can't afford to have a credit card with a higher balance and something that you're paying off, don't beat yourself up about it either. Don't carry
No,
that guilt.
I literally
it's
only
really
got a
hard.
Credit card that good within the last few years, and I'm 35 years old.
it's very hard to do, but
don't get one and go into debt.
Yeah.
That's way worse than not having one.
Yeah. If you're struggling, just know we know how that feels and it really sucks, but we're part of a larger system that has a lot of issues and problems with it, and it's not your personal issue or your personal fault. Everybody's doing the best they can. And if you're lucky enough to get out of that situation one day, hopefully you can look back and think about your college self and how much you would have loved to have your free iPad too. And we hope you do. We hope that some of these problems get fixed in the country that we live in.
Yeah. I'll save it for another day, but I have a lot of opinions on universal basic income, which I want to get your thoughts on sometime, where everyone gets some sort of baseline, which I think is
interesting. Yeah, we should
idea.
All be talking more about that, I think, too.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm hoping it's coming up in the future. That's it for this episode of Hey Bestie. I'll include details and links to the stuff we mentioned in the show notes at heybestie.com. Please like, subscribe, share us with a friend, and review on iTunes.
Have a great week. Thanks again for listening.
Bye. I haven't had Skittles in so long.
You're tasting the rainbow before podcasting.
I can't help it. They're so good. This podcast is not sponsored by Skittles. But Skittles, if you're listening, I'll take some more Skittles. And then I will promote the hell out of them on here.
Miss Skittles, if you're listening to our podcast.
If you like this podcast, please send more Skittles. I will audibly eat them.